The Impeachment Witch Hunt with Greg Jarrett.
The result was preordained. The House Judiciary Committee voted strictly along party lines to impeach President Donald Trump.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The resolution is amended as ordered, reported favorably to the House. Members will have 2 days to submit views. The resolution will be reported as a single amendment in the nature of a substitute. Without objection, staff is authorized to make technical and conforming changes. Without objection,
Mr.
the committee
Chairman,
is adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, pursuant
what to purpose does the gentleman seek recognition?
Pursuant to Clause 2L of Rule 11, I give notice of intent to file dissenting views.
Notice is heard. Without objection, the committee is adjourned.
This sets the stage for a decidedly partisan vote by the full House of Representatives, controlled, of course, by Democrats. It's precisely what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi promised would never happen. Months ago, she assured the American people that impeachment should only take place if there was support for it in both parties, what she called bipartisan impeachment.
I just don't believe in it. They wanted me to impeach President Bush for the Iraq War. I didn't believe in it then. I don't believe in it now. It divides the country unless there's some conclusive evidence that takes us to that place.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler argued the very same thing 2 decades ago during the Bill Clinton impeachment.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment substantially supported by one of our major political parties and largely opposed by the other. Such an impeachment would lack legitimacy, would produce divisiveness and bitterness in our politics for years to come, and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions. The American people are watching and they will not forget. You may have the votes, you may have the muscle, but you do not have the legitimacy of a national consensus or of a constitutional imperative. This partisan coup d'etat will go down in infamy in the history of this nation.
Two national polls, Quinnipiac and Monmouth University, show the impeachment needle has not moved. A majority of voters oppose removing President Trump. Hearings by Nadler and Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee have failed to persuade Americans that the president has committed an impeachable offense that deserves his removal. Independents, who often decide elections, are against impeachment and removal by a wide margin, 55-36%. Even more disturbing to Democrats are the results of polls in 3 swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Trump now beats all Democratic contenders, and the reason is anger over the impeachment drive. Increasingly, Americans have come to realize that the process has been rushed by Democrats. And it's true. For more than 2 years, people like Schiff, Pelosi, and Nadler, and the mainstream media mob promised that evidence would emerge that Trump had engaged in a criminal collusion conspiracy with Russia. When special counsel Robert Mueller burst their bubble, Democrats searched for another reason. Any reason would do. They suddenly embraced the Ukrainian witch hunt as their last best chance with the clock running out in Trump's first term. Almost overnight, Pelosi announced on her own, without a vote, impeachment proceedings, even before President Trump released the transcript of his controversial telephone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. The transcript of that conversation, which is the best evidence, showed no demand, threat, condition, or pressure of a quid pro quo of U.S. aid in exchange for an investigation of Joe Biden. No matter, evidence was, for Democrats, completely inconsequential and irrelevant. They could just make it up. And that is what Adam Schiff has done. He held secret hearings in the bowels of Congress. Witnesses were threatened if they didn't appear. They were told they could not even have legal counsel present. Trump's lawyer could not attend to ask questions. Republicans could not call their own witnesses. Schiff obliterated fundamental fairness and due process, defying U.S. Supreme Court decisions that say due process does apply to congressional investigations. which would include Schiff's impeachment investigation. Complaints by Republicans and the president fell on deaf ears. Under pressure, Schiff relented and belatedly held a few public hearings, but it was all a charade. The witnesses he called were not fact witnesses. They offered their opinion, speculation, presumptions, and supposition. All of it was based on multiple hearsay. The only witness who actually spoke to President Trump said the president told him, "I want nothing, I want no quid pro quo." That, together with a transcript of the call and corroboration by President Zelensky himself, should have ended it. Naturally, it did not. Schiff prepared, almost overnight, a lopsided report and kicked the impeachment to his confederate, Jerry Nadler, and his Judiciary Committee. Nadler held a charade hearing that stacked the deck. He called three liberal law professors who already were on record expressing their deep animus toward Trump. Republicans were permitted to call just one witness, Professor Jonathan Turley, a Democrat who does not support Trump. Turley warned Congress,
"If you rush this impeachment, you're going to leave half the country behind."
Democrats didn't care. In the blink of an eye, they composed two articles of impeachment. After talking incessantly about bribery, they didn't charge it. Why? Because the evidence doesn't support it. Extortion? Same thing. Campaign finance violations? Ditto. It was abundantly clear that the constitutional impeachment clause of treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors was utterly bereft of proof. So Democrats conjured up abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Well, these two articles underscore just how weak the impeachment case is. Let's examine them. Abuse of power. It is a wonderfully amorphous term that is found nowhere in the Constitution, but it's similar to maladministration, which the framers considered, debated, and rejected. They determined it was too vague, ambiguous, and undefined. As a result, it would be misused or misapplied for purely partisan purposes. And they were right. It's happening now under the guise of abuse of power. This is precisely what the framers feared, that an opposing party would seek to impeach a president for political reasons. This is why they designed, in their wisdom, a procedural protection, a safeguard of a two-thirds supermajority in the Senate to actually remove the president. The abuse of power article itself is actually defective. If you read it carefully, it assumes Trump's motive to have been personal gain to influence the upcoming election. But there's no evidence of that in the conversation itself. And again, all of the witnesses offered nothing but hearsay, speculation, and opinion on that. Instead, Democrats are now intuiting Trump's intent. That is not evidence. It's telepathy. The second article of impeachment, obstruction of Congress, is mind-numbingly ludicrous. The president asserted executive privilege in response to certain subpoenaed witnesses and documents. It is not and never has been obstruction to invoke a legally recognized privilege. For 200 years, presidents have been doing so. The first was George Washington. Fast forward to 2012, no one claimed that Barack Obama should be impeached when he invoked executive privilege in response to congressional subpoenas in the Fast and Furious investigation. If Congress truly believes that President Trump is wrongly invoking the privilege, the proper course of action is to go to federal court. That's the normal procedure. That's what Congress did in the Obama case. But now, Democrats are in such a rush to impeach, they won't bother. Apparently, their standard is this. When Obama asserts executive privilege, it's perfectly fine. It's not impeachable. But when Trump does the very same thing, it's impeachable. The bottom line? This article of impeachment, obstruction of Congress, is constitutionally absurd without any merit. Impeachment must always be based on clear and convincing evidence and proof, not presumptions. Professor Turley put it best when he said this.
George Washington was the first guy to raise extreme executive privilege claims. He had a rather robust view of what a president could say. If you were going to make a case to George Washington that you could impeach over a conversation he had with another head of state, I expect his hair, his powdered hair, would catch on fire.
The articles of impeachment will go to the full House. Once adopted by a party-line vote, the matter then moves to the U.S. Senate. Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham vows that the trial will be short because the case against Trump is a sham.
I'm not interested in any witnesses. This thing is a sham or crock. I don't want to legitimize it. I want to get it over with. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country, because I think it's a danger to the presidency to legitimize this.
The U.S. Senate is permitted to adopt its own rules during an impeachment trial. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to adopt the federal rules of evidence that is used in all federal trials. Now, that's important because it means that all of the hearsay witnesses who are unreliable are not allowed to testify. Indeed, there's no requirement that witnesses be called at all. The House manager can present the case against Trump based on the existing record. Republicans would then present a response. A debate and vote would follow. Given the constitutional dictate that a two-thirds supermajority can remove the president from office, McConnell is confident that Trump will be acquitted.
The case is so darn weak coming over from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
Now, you would think this would be the end of it. Not true. Representative Al Green, a Democrat, predicted that the Democratic-controlled House will keep doing it over and over if Trump wins a second term. He warned, quote, "The president can be impeached more than once." By the way, this is the same Al Green who filed articles of impeachment shortly after the president took office. Months ago, he told MSNBC that he's, quote, "concerned if we don't impeach this president, he'll get reelected." Think about what he's saying. Democrats like Green fear they can't win in a free and fair election, so their only choice is to keep manipulating the impeachment clause with manufactured evidence in their quest to overturn the will of the American people at the ballot box. Rabid Democrats are being myopic, and they don't even know it. They are now establishing a dangerous precedent. Someday the roles will be reversed. A Democrat will be in the White House facing a Republican-controlled House. Pelosi, Nadler, and Schiff are creating a new perilous and shameful standard that any perceived offense is somehow impeachable. They are sowing the seeds of the future destruction of all presidents to come. Anything, however silly or frivolous, can now be labeled abuse of power. The framers of our Constitution would be disgusted at how their genius has been contorted and debased. I'm Greg Jarrett. Be sure to pick up my new book, Witch Hunt, The Story of the Greatest Mass Delusion in American Political History.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.